Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason-Dixon line charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we have a live call-in number. Feel free to give us a buzz. Our number here is 718-497-2128. Today, we'll be talking food headlines and MLK Day 2012. Okay, folks, once per month, we bring you the latest and greatest edible buzz. So here it is. First up, Paula Deen. Our first headline of the month, Paula Deen. If you've been on the interwebs, you probably have already seen it, but Paula Deen has diabetes. That's the latest news out there. She has not confirmed that. I first spotted it on Grub Street, New York. And according to reports, I guess people that are leaking the information that she is inking a deal with a major diabetes or hypertension, a glucose drug maker, and she's going to be the spokesperson with a like multi-million dollar contract. Word on the curb is that on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, she's supposed to make the official announcement. This is interesting. Paula Deen, if you have never watched Paula Deen's show on the Food Network, you know that she uses like 2 sticks of butter in like every recipe. I think she's hilarious. I really admire her. I mean, there are a lot of things about her that I don't like, such as she'll be cooking a traditional Southern recipe and then she'll pull out a can of something to put it in. I'm like, Paula, all this canned food for real? But yeah, she uses a lot of butter. And apparently this story hit the National Enquirer like last spring. And so I guess the National Enquirer doesn't lie. I'm sure she's been trying to figure out like how she's going to continue her brand of all this butter laden food. But Paula, I hope you're doing well. I hope you use this, your health issue, to, I guess, inform folks how to make better health choices in terms of food. So Paula Deen has diabetes. Stay on the lookout for her announcement. And also, side note, P.S. She's supposed to be on Oprah, one of Oprah's show on the OWN network, talking about her life. So maybe she'll mention the diabetes thing then. Anyway, next food headline is from grist.org, one of my favorite online sources for sustainable food news. Twilight Greenway wrote a piece called A Fork in the Road for Slow Food. And it's actually a very interesting piece. I think it's a response to Chow.com read an article back before the holidays titled Cheap Drama at Slow Food. So if you're sitting in front of your computer now, I would say just like Google Cheap Drama at Slow Food and read the piece that Showdown did. It was kind of gossipy, but some of the stuff in there I know, you know, from hearing rumblings from different slow food people, that it is true. But the gist of the article is basically saying that slow food is at a crossroads. There are some people believe that slow food needs to have one stance. And then there are other people who believe that slow food should evolve and do more policy work. And if you follow slow food, I've been a member, I think my membership actually expired, but I've been a member for the past few years. And they've tried to do a lot around policy and advocacy. And I think some people feel a certain way. They would like to see a focus more on, artisanal food producers and makers, and go back to the biodiversity thing. Full disclosure, we have, here at Heritage Radio Network, have a lot of ties to slow food. I'm an advocate of slow food. And I think for people to really understand the fork in the road for slow food, you need to really research and read the history of slow food and how slow food functions outside of the United States. Twilight actually mentions a little bit about how the U.S. chapter of slow food and how the international chapter is very different. So yeah, check it out. It's making its way all over the interwebs. I think this is an important discussion because without a doubt, slow food definitely is a voice for people in the food movement. So it's interesting to see how they move forward. We are going to take a quick break and come back with more food headlines here on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
I'm Sam Edwards. I'm third generation cure master from S. Wallace Edwards and Sons in Surrey, Virginia. We support the Heritage Radio Network because we believe in the cause and what they're doing. They're supporting family-raised livestock, small family farms, certified humane, pasture-raised, antibiotic-free. Basically, we take the products from Heritage Foods USA and make them into Serrano-style hams, prosciutto-style hams, bacon, sausage, like my grandfather did. You can find us at SurreyFarms.com or VirginiaTraditions.com.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. If you're just tuning in live to our show, we're talking food headlines in the first part of the show, and then we're going to get more into Martin Luther King Day. Third headline, food headline, is actually about yogurt in New York City. And I have to bring this up because I did a show and I listed or I explained to you guys what I thought some of the trends in food would be in 2012. And I said a Greek yogurt takeover. And like a few days afterwards, I'd be damned. The New York Times came out with an article titled Greek Yogurt, a Boon for New York State. So go to New York Times, check out the article. They're talking about how Chobani is like the leading brand of Greek yogurt. I did not know that. They're like number one in the country now, and they're building a new factory. And Afaji is also building something upstate. So that's great. Jobs upstate. If you're a yogurt person or you're into cheese, I think Ann Sachs will be, I'm saying it again, because that's one of my favorite shows here on Heritage Radio Network, Cutting the Curb by Ann Sachs will be. She talked more in depth about this. So check it out. I'm like, wow, I'm on point. Article right in the New York Times a few days after I talked about it. Another food headline. Oh, we have to talk this. Marshmallows. I did not put marshmallows on my list of things that would be hot in 2012. But yeah, folks are writing about marshmallows everywhere. I see a lot of food bloggers definitely are blogging about marshmallows, putting their recipes up, and folks are doing very different things. But again, in New York Times, there was a great article about how marshmallows are having a moment. I retweeted this article and put it on my Facebook page as well, on Food Cultures, at Food Cultures on Twitter and Food Cultures on Facebook. But it listed like Bake, one of my favorite bakeries here in New York City. They have marshmallows, Rubicella's, friends of the show. They're talking about their marshmallows and City Bakery, all these cool places in New York City that are doing marshmallows. And it seems as if marshmallows, they're not just your plain old, you know, fluffy marshmallows, but they're great flavors. I see someone that's doing a cherry studded chocolate covered marshmallow in the article. So yeah, marshmallows are hot. I was in Atlanta over the holiday and I went to a Cacaya Atlanta, which is a local gourmet chocolatier, and she had marshmallows. They were really freaking good. And I find with marshmallows, they're huge, and if you're gonna like put them in like hot chocolate or some kind of beverage, I like to cut them in half because I feel like they're huge. But yeah, so that was a food headline about how marshmallows are taking over. Last but not least, food headlines for the month of January on Hot Grease. Ovenly is opening in Greenpoint, Brooklyn. Ovenly is a Brooklyn-based bakery, and they are opening an outpost, a standalone store here in Brooklyn, New York. Very exciting. The store is opening in March. If you're listening, and I'm sure you're probably familiar with their nuts, they do these very creative bar nuts. But I'm going to be honest, I fell in love with Ovenly when they were doing treats at another Brooklyn-based coffee shop in Clinton Hill, aka Bed-Stuy. I'm going to say Bed-Stuy. Some people say Clinton Hill. They were making these scones. They do these savory / sweet scones. So, I mean, they're probably like 1 or 2 months in the game when I first try Ovenly. And then they do great cakes. I love them. And I'm congratulations to Ovenly for opening a standalone post. It'll be open in March in the Greenpoint section of Brooklyn. If you are listening and you don't live in Brooklyn and you're trying to figure out where the hell is Greenpoint, Greenpoint is right next to Williamsburg, and there are a lot of cool things in Greenpoint. Polly G's is in Greenpoint. Van Leeuwen Ice Cream is in Greenpoint. Keith Ledger's, that's really not his restaurant, but people like to say it's his restaurant. It's Five Leaves. It's in Greenpoint. So congratulations, Ovenly. Look forward to checking you out. Gonna take another quick break and come back with our MLK Tribute 2012. Keep listening to Hot Grease. So you think I'm alone, but being alone's the only way to be. When you step outside, you spend life fighting for your sanity. This is a cold war. You better know what you're fighting for. This is a cold war. Do you know what you're fighting for? If you wanna be free, below the ground's the only place to be. Cause in this life, you spend time running from depravity. This is a cold war. Do you know what you're fighting for? This is a cold war. You better know. Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. And if you haven't gotten a chance to go to heritageradionetwork.com and you're listening to this on your MP3 player, You can go straight there and you can browse past episodes of Hot Grease by putting in certain words. Like you can go and put in Martin Luther King Day and you'll see all the shows that have mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King or have done a episode. We have great stuff there. And I want to take the next, you know, few minutes or the remainder of Hot Grease really to highlight some of the episodes that we've done in the past. Actually, two episodes that we had guests on and they talked about Dr. Martin Luther King. I have two clips. The first clip being 2 years ago, right after the natural disaster in Haiti. We actually had the founder of Seeds for Haiti in the studio. And I asked him about Dr. Martin Luther King. Take a listen here.
You know, having at this time, because it's not it's for all kind of freedom. It's for exactly. Economic freedom. It's for political freedom. It's like now we, you know, you have some force that are oppressing the country, but we are the struggle that we are leading. I think we can be inspired by Dr. King.
So you launched Seeds for Haiti. So you were just listening to Basil Jean-Baptiste. I asked him, you know, how he felt about Dr. Martin Luther King and the crisis that was going on in Haiti. And he basically said, you know, that Dr. Martin Luther King was just not for, you know, people here in the United States in terms of freedom and equal rights, but people abroad. But yeah, go straight to heritageradionetwork.com. You can put in Dr. Martin Luther King and listen to the entire episode. That's actually episode 17 of Hot Grease. I actually have another clip from last year's MLK tribute. This is probably one of my favorite people on Hot Grease, one of my favorite guests, Dr. Frederick Opie. He called into Hot Grease and did a great segment about the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King, and food. Take a listen here, Dr. Frederick Opie, 2011 on Hot Grease. On the phone, let's welcome back Dr. Frederick Opie. Dr. Opie, welcome to Hot Grease.
How are you, Nicole? Good to talk to you again.
I'm great. Just want to let listeners know you are the author of Hog and Hominy, Soul Food from Africa to America, and visiting associate professor of African and African diaspora history and food ways at Babson College. And you're also a food blogger.
For sure.
Yes.
I've actually been doing a series on Dr. King for today's holiday. So there's some good information along with related recipes that your listeners will probably enjoy.
Yes. So, Dr. Opie, there are quite a few stark differences. Are there any stark differences of the current social movements and movements of the past?
Stark differences. Kind of interesting. I just came back from Boston University, where Dr. King received his doctorate degree. And some of the speakers were talking about social movements now and the current generations that are college students versus when Dr. King was alive. And some of the things that are different, some of the things that are similar. First of all, that students are just as much involved in social justice issues as they were in Dr. King's, despite what popular culture thinks. Students are alive and actively involved in trying to resolve some of the wrongs in this world. Now, the techniques have changed, but some people are still also learning from prior techniques. And I'll give you an example. When people would organize and mobilize during Dr. King's, you know, his life, and I think of the Montgomery bus boycott in 1955, that's the first protest that King comes to the forefront. It was mostly making phone calls and getting people out to a local church to listen to what we were going to do next as a movement. So that would be the way you'd get a phone call, or people would also go and run off flyers. And that's how people would learn about a movement and about a meeting. Now today, what students are doing is using things like Twitter, Facebook, and the internet. That's how people are getting the word out more than anything else. And then they have the cell phone where they're texting people. So people are mobilizing, getting out, but how you get people to that point or to that meeting to learn what to do next, those things may have changed.
Explain the role of food in the civil rights movements or other human rights movements of the past.
Well, that's a topic that I started working on at the level of a blog probably about a year ago. And I've been really fascinated from the American Revolution all the way up to the Civil Rights Revolution of the role of food. And one of the things you see, and I first saw this in Montgomery in 1955, is the role that food plays in revolutions. And what you see in Montgomery is the black community there is mobilizing against a very powerful state, the Montgomery state, the local community, the state officials. And they don't want to ride the bus. They were trying to make a point that we don't like the Jim Crow policies on the bus. So they agree to stay off the bus. But the issue is that majority of the particularly the women in that town, work as domestic workers, and they have to get to work. So how do you maintain a bus strike when you need people to have transportation getting to work? And one of the things that you see is they organize this thing they call the Montgomery Improvement Association. And one of the most important ways that money is raised to provide transportation for women to get to work is through the sale of food. So you have an organization that calls itself basically the Club from Nowhere. And why do they use that term, Club from Nowhere? Because if their names get out and the local police find out who these women are, they're going to be persecuted and prosecuted. So they create this Club from Nowhere, and by the sale of baked goods, they raise a lot of money that keeps the Montgomery Improvement Association in their self-created modes of transportation running during this very long and costly strike.
Most people think of Southern food. You just talked about the South and Montgomery. They think of Southern food and civil rights. What other regional foods are associated with justice fighting and the civil rights movement?
I would think mostly when I'm thinking about the civil rights movement, because it's mostly a northern-based movement, is that's what people are cooking. They're cooking down home southern food, and then by 1968 we're calling it soul food. But I even saw with the movement in New York that was involved with the author and well-known cook Vertebrae Grosner. She worked with SNCC in New York and Harlem, and one of the ways that they raised money for the SNCC chapter in Harlem was cooking the food, and it was southern food. So I think these are kind of traditions that go on, but it really has to do with the movement and who's involved in it.
You're just listening to Hot Grease's January 2011 tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King, and that was Dr. Frederick Opie talking about food and the civil rights movement. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and wrap up MLK 2012 at Heritage Radio Network. Keep listening. Love that song. That's Roy Ayers. I think that's from what, Ubiquitous something.
I was just saying that I love it. Roy Ayers is the best.
Yeah, he's the best. Roy Ayers. The title of the song is Holiday. Love that song. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I am your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and myself, and engineered today by Carlos Aguero. This program is being sponsored by, did we say, was it?
It's Sam Edwards.
Sam Edwards, Virginia Ham. It's being sponsored by the folks there. Let me give a Southern Girls to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York. Oh my gosh. I've never seen, well, actually every holiday is this crowded at Roberta's. Otherwise, it's like a very steady Monday, but today is super crowded. So shout out to Roberta's, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. All right, folks. So I just want to give you my last reflections of Dr. Martin Luther King. I think what's really inspiring is to go on social media and to see all of the folks reflecting on him all over the interwebs. You can read, you can watch people, and it's just really showing the spirit of folks and the human experience in a way that's kind of, it's kind of cool. So shout out to all the folks. Some people may think it's corny that are putting up quotes or putting up speeches or putting up songs. I think it's great, because I remember growing up on MLK Day, there are a few things that always happen. First of all, they used to play this movie called Little Boy King. I don't know if anyone out there remembers this movie. Is it even out? Is it on Netflix? But it was this really cheesy movie, but and it was about the Boy King. And it would come on like either MLK Day or the days leading up to it. I haven't seen that movie in years. So if you're listening and you know where I can find this, send me that, Little Boy King. I think it might have been like a like locally produced in an ATL. The other thing that I remember about MLKs of the past, before there was a Twitter and a Facebook, is going to the MLK Parade Day, MLK Parade in Atlanta. That was like huge, you know, to leave Athens, the little city, and go to Atlanta and go to the King Parade was a big deal. I'm sure there are still kids in Atlanta or in Georgia or other parts of the country or the world that go to Atlanta on this day, and they go to the King Parade, and they do a big commemorative service every year that's like on channel on Fox, one of the Fox stations, and you get to like peek inside of the King Center, or more so Ebenezer Baptist Church, and see the service that they've been doing for probably like the past 30, 40 plus years. I saw something, I want to share this and then I'm gonna close out the show. I saw something very interesting about Dr. Martin Luther King and food. Someone posed the question, would Dr. King be a vegetarian? You know, how would he feel about the current food system? And I would say two things. I totally think that he would be a vegetarian, because that was him. I think he was a person that's willing to try something for the cause, to prove a point. I don't know. Some people may or may not know that Coretta Scott King, his late wife, was a vegetarian. And her son, Dexter King, he probably still is. I mean, for years, he was a very, you know, outspoken about being a vegetarian. So I definitely think without a doubt he would be a vegetarian. I think he would be speaking out about GMOs. He would be speaking out about workers' rights and farmers. He already was doing some of that if you go back to some of the speeches. So without a doubt, I think he'd be a vegetarian, but he'd also be a person who might have not been a lifelong vegetarian, but a person who might have did it to serve a purpose at the time. So folks, I would say to you, happy MLK Day. Thank you for listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. In the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., always take the road less traveled. My own beliefs are in my song. The picture, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.